Bullseye on the afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL. We're having some fun here on a Wednesday. Andy Bullbarch joined alongside Matt Douglas. And we welcome in studio our very next guest, an Emmy Award-winning musician and entertainer. And he's immediately become a friend of the show, Alex Bevin. Alex, thanks for joining us, man. How are you?
Hiya, kids. Hiya. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm real good. I'm happy to be here. I had a nice little drive along the lake. You know, I found myself down there in Lorain. You know, I said, well, I better turn south sometime. if I'd been at like my old self, you know, Camper Al, the mad camp counselor, I just would have hiked up that Black River. Would have hiked all the way up into LRI.
Sounds like there are a lot of things that could have taken you a number of different directions. We were talking earlier about how you were thinking about stopping by the Daily Residence. Instead, you stumbled on Ohio City. But of all the experience you've got in this great city of ours over the years, well, you basically have a number of different neighborhoods where you could have stopped on your way over here from the east side.
Well, yeah, that's true. But, you know, anytime you get a chance to hang in the presence of the emperor of Put-in Bay, Patrick Houston Daly, the coolest son of a gun in the world. I got to tell you, he is one of the naturally funniest people in the world, and it's my privilege to know him. But you're right. I stopped at a little place called, I'm gonna drop the plug,
Larder.
The Larder, which is a little delicatessen on West 29th, and I got maybe the best pastrami sandwich I've ever had.
Wow.
You know, and I hunt down corned beef. I'm no stranger to Corky and Lenny's, you know. That's how I've kind of made it here. And, you know, and on the way home, I'm probably going to have to stop at the Forest City Brewing Company just to refortify my carbs, you know.
Well, you told me before we came on the air that, you know, a lot of times when you're performing, you know, if the chords get a little bit dry, right, the pipes kind of dry out a little bit. You said that's what beer's for. And then you gave me this logical explanation. I thought, that's actually fantastic, coming from a gentleman with years of experience. So explain this logic to us.
Oh, it's really simple. You know, when you get up and you're standing, you're starting to like break your first sweat, and you know, you're trying to get the crowd a little into it, and you get your heart rate up to its aerobic level, and you're feeling just that little you know, twang right at the back of your throat, and you go, I have to forestay laryngitis. I will get a beer. And those 200 calories, that will forestay exhaustion. You know? You know, we got the forestays, we got the rationales, you know. But if it's fun, I want to do it. If it's not fun, I'll probably only do it once and then move on to something fun.
Well, you've been having fun for many, many years now. That's a great thing. And, of course, March 1st and March 2nd, you'll be at Lorain County Community College. Before we get into that, I've got to ask you this question, and I can't believe we forgot to get into this the last time we had you on. And, you know, Matt, the last time we had Alex here with us, we had so much fun that before we knew it, we thought, oh, my God, this interview's been going on for 20 minutes. I guess we have to wrap it up at some point. But we never scratched the surface on the work that you did for the Browns. And there's a song out there, and a lot of you out there tuning in, you can YouTube this to see it. Hello, America. This is Brownstown. I listened to that earlier today. I'm like, that is magical. That's fantastic.
Hello, America. This is Brownstown. We are Cleveland hanging tough. Hello, America. This is Brownstown. We're ready for you. Well, get ready for us.
And then Pat Daly comes with, hey, hey, Cleveland, how about them Browns? You know, back in those days, it was so much fun because everybody loved the Browns, and they love the Browns now, but they were winning a little more. We had characters on the team, you know, every member of that team, you know, Ozzie sure. Newsome. I mean, you know, you say those words, and today, you know, those green kids who are playing, they couldn't even fill his Adidas tennis shoes. But, you know, so we started writing those songs for fun. We got them on the air on the morning show on that other radio station from the Blizzard, the Blazzard. You know which one.
That, yeah. They made a Blizzard out of that station, too. It's crazy.
So we started doing that, and the listeners said, hey, we want more. So the challenge was to write it completely different every week. And we did that for the whole first season. And then the second season, we got a sponsor. And so we were able to, like, you know, raise a little money for the Cleveland Free Clinic at that point. And we, once again, we had fun. But, you know, I remember a couple times there was a little place called Stepien's Competitors Lounge. And they had a table for me there. And so I would get to the station and I would go to the table. I'd sit down with my notebook and my pencil and order a beer. And I would start on those. And that's kind of how those Cleveland Brown songs happened. And then we would, you know, record them, you know, in an afternoon. It would just be assemble a crew of knuckleheads and we'd just slam it out. But that final thing was done with me and Pat Daly. We got a whole bunch of Cleveland celebrities, you know, like a good old Doug Deacon,
sure,
you know, who is one of Pat's neighbors. We had Tommy Dobeck from the Michael Stanley Band. We had Joe Smith of Joe Smith's Galactic Ego Manifested heavy metal punk vibe. That's a real genre.
Heavy metal punk vibe?
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to see that one when I was record shopping back in the day.
Yeah. Well, now it's got its own channel. You can download the app, knuckleheads.com.
Knuckleheads.com.
Yeah. So anyway, so we did that, and we had so much response on that we got involved with a guy named John Solomon, who is a piano player up on Put-in Bay and around Ohio, and he had a little group, and so they did to the tune of Downtown, you know, Downtown.
Sure.
They did Brownstown, this is Brownstown. And he had like three of the best jingle singers in Cleveland. I mean, people who are real singers, you know. Me, I sing, I shout. Every now and then I play a little guitar, but for the most part, you're going to be looking at the smoke and mirrors if you're looking, you know, to hear opera come out of me. but those gals, not only did they look good and smelled good, too, because they probably went to L'Oreal or somewhere else like that before they came into that studio, they looked good. They sounded good. Oh, you can YouTube that one, too.
So while we're on this topic, I've got to ask you because, you know, within the last, I don't know, 5-10 years, and maybe the timing of that might be a little off, you know, some of these books have come out about the radio days in Cleveland. Of course, John Gorman had the book about the buzzard as well.
Yeah.
Talking about the music scene in Cleveland and just how huge it was. But you were a very big part of that. I mean, you know, to put you up on this pedestal, you're an Emmy Award winner. So, I mean, you were a very big part of that, and you were right in the thick of that scene. But for those who weren't necessarily around to kind of live that back in the 80s, how cool was that entire scene? I mean, here you were. I mean, you mentioned how great the Browns were. They were a big part of that whole scene as well. I mean, in the mid to late 80s, they were really the best show in town. What was it like being a part of all that?
It was fantastic. It was nothing short of fantastic. And you can't say enough good things about the Hank Licati influence and the Cleveland Agora and how they were able to really pioneer the live concert to the radio thing. And, you know, so there was some real magic there between Arnie at Agency Recording and the Cleveland Agora and John Gorman and those guys, you know. But what there also were, there was a whole tier of touring bands that as album-oriented rock started blossoming and proving itself as an economic force, the radio stations and the record companies decided that, you know, they could make some money, and the musicians said, well, we can make some money and we can make some music. And so out of this effort to just present really good music, you had a whole group of people able to make a living doing something they dearly loved. And in those days, the genres were not as stratified as they are now, you know. So it was almost, you'd have a show where you'd have, here's one, Eddie Money, Alex Bevan, and Andy Pratt on the same show. You know, and you know that, and I'm happy to say that Eddie Money opened for me in Cleveland one time.
Holy cow!
But and he's a heck of a nice guy, by the way. He was there. He finished his set, and we were playing at Case Western Reserve in the gymnasium. And he says, "Where can I get any good Italian food in Cleveland?" And I'm like laughing because we're at the bottom of Murray Hill. I said, "You go right up to Trattoria, all right? You go right up there, or you know, Mama Santa's Pizza. You'll be okay. You will not starve. You'll get a slice."
Oh yeah, man, that's crazy. You guys were forming a case, and he wants to know where he can get good Italian food. I mean, you're literally a stone's throw away.
You know, I opened for the Doobie Brothers at Miami of Ohio. See, now in those days, you know, I was lucky enough that I was a chameleon, so I could play in a band, I could play with my little folk trio, or play solo. But when I started out on the college coffee house circuit, where you would go to a different college. And you would play in the dorms for 3 nights, and then you do a small concert in the student center. And so I did that for about a year, year and a half. And then I got into the New Jersey bar circuit, but not where Springsteen was. I was down at the Last Resort. I was down in Cape May, New Jersey. I played at a place called Khan's Ugly Mug Bar.
Oh, boy.
And it was a great education, you know. And, you know, we were young, you know. I mean, I was 22. I didn't know where things were going. I imagined that I would either be, you know, soldering circuit boards for Picker X-ray, like my dad, or I would, you know, if I was lucky, I'd get a degree in English. But at the time, all I wanted to do was, you know, play guitar and have fun, which is kind of what I've done most of my life.
It seems like you succeeded. Yeah,
I'm a lucky man. I'm a lucky man. But at one point, I was signed to an agency in Denver, and on that roster, among other people, were John Hartford, who is kind of bluegrass royalty. He's the guy who wrote the song "Gentle on My Mind."
Okay.
There was a guy named Steve Goodman who wrote "City of New Orleans." There was a punk. His name was Jim Buffett. he taught us all how to dance. But there was also the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, which became the Dirt Band. There was also the Earl Scruggs Review. You know, so for the next 3 years, I was either an opening act for those tours, or I was on various different middle-tiered concert venues. You know, so that was an education. I'd come back to Cleveland, and you know, and I'd play the Agoras. I would play Farragher's Back Room. I would play, you know, Fagan's Beacon House, the Flatiron, you know. So those, everybody knew me as a folk singer here, but on that other thing, I was, you know, just a workhorse because I never said no to a gig. You know, I remember one time driving from Payson, Arizona to Blacksburg, Virginia to open for Cheech and Chong. Believe it or not, I opened for Cheech and Chong. You talk about a goofy matchup. But I had 3 days to get there. And so I'm driving in my little 1973 Vega Camback station wagon with my dog Rounder. And in those days, it was right when there was gas rationing and it was 55 miles an hour. Well, I got pulled over for speeding. Imagine that. But I had like some cheese and crackers spread out on the seat next to me. I had a harmonica around my neck. My dog is like doing his cute thing. And the state trooper says, I know there's a story behind this. And what's that around your neck? I said, well, it's a harmonica rack. I said, you know, I'm going from Payson. I got a job offer in Blacksburg. I didn't want to say I was a musician because he might have thought I smoked something.
Sure. Especially when you're going to see Cheech and Chong.
Yeah.
Well, but there were four cases of Coors in the back of my little station wagon. But anyways, to make a short story long, he looked at me and he shook his head. He says, slow down, get out of here, you know, and, you know, stuff like that doesn't happen today. Or if it does, we don't hear enough about it.
Sure.
Those good things. So it was a wonderful time. You know, I remember in a simpler day, there was a fellow who was booking Blossom. His name was Chris Fallman. And he called me up, and I was working in Alaska at a little place called the Powder House, which was an old dynamite shack near the airport in Cordova, Alaska, full of fishermen and lunatics and hippies, and you know. And he says, "Hey, would you like to open for the Beach Boys at Blossom?" And I said, "Yeah, yeah."
Twist
when?
My arm.
When
yeah.
he says, "Well, you got 4 days to get here," you know. So what happened was he. I took the gig. I booked. I got a plane ticket to Cleveland. My wife picked me up, you know, and I got off. I got off the airplane, and I went from a town of 1,500 people to 15,000 at Blossom wow. in less than 24 hours. And all I saw were like shirts and stuff. I got to shake Brian Wilson's hand.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow!
Swear to God.
Wow. Very nice.
Especially
very
to nice. Go from those two atmospheres, Alaska, where you're typically cold, to singing the Beach Boys down there.
Yeah, well, you know, those fishermen, they, you know, we there was a deal at the Powder House that I would sing Margaritaville, but it cost $100. And you had to tip the bartender, you know, $100, and she would give me the secret sign, you know, and the bartenders all loved me there because, you know, well, on the last day, they paid for my ticket by making me sing Margaritaville 7 times in a row.
Wow. So you know the words then, obviously.
I made half of them up. I was drunk.
Hey, that's all right when you're at the Powder House, right?
Yeah.
Anything goes.
Exactly.
Anything goes. Very good stuff. Alex Bevin joining us here in studio. He's performing at Lorain County Community College on March 1st, March 2nd. I brought this up a few times, and I want to find out how this all went down. I mean, you won an Emmy. And you won it for the post score of the Rust Belt Blues back in 1987, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And this was the final segment of NBC's American Promise documentary series. So tell us about the creation of this. And, boy, I guess more importantly, for those of us who are never going to win an Emmy, and two of the three of us in this room, well, no offense to Matt. Maybe I should just put myself in
sure,
that category.
No, I'm, but, you know, I'm thinking you can probably group me in there.
For those of us who have never had that experience, what's that like?
It was kind of magical. The way it came about was there was a woman who was the producer who worked at Channel 3, Jane Hirsch. And I knew her through playing at the Edgewater Yacht Club. And there was Scott Newell, who was one of the hosts of one of the Cleveland shows. And he was in the New Christie Minstrels for a while. So when they came to me, they said, "Do you think that you could do this?" And at the time, I was also writing shows for SeaWorld, where I was Shamu was swimming to some of my music, which was a lot of fun.
Not many people can say that.
You know, it's pretty cool. As many people have heard Skinny Little Boy, I think just as many have heard SeaWorld, We Will Entertain You. But I think Skinny's a better song. The short story is, they said, "Look, we want this to be very Cleveland. We're not going to give you any restrictions, you know." So we kind of went through and we did what we called spotted the music, you know, in the rough cut, and we saw what was there. And I had some experience with post scoring, which is where you add the music to the video when it's all cut, which means you can do things for more dramatic effect. Mm-hmm. And we got the best players we could get in town, and we went into audio recording. And in a week, we came out with the soundtrack. And when that segment of The American Promise was put up for four Emmys in four different categories, one of them was music. And I have that beautiful little treasured statue sitting in my studio, right up there next to some old sunglasses, and every now and then I look at it and give that girl a wink and go, "God bless you."
That's cool.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, I know that now you've got a new knee. You were telling me a few days after you came on last time,
yeah,
you got a knee replacement. So I think people are expecting backflips and cartwheels when they come to see you at LCCC next weekend.
Yeah, they can expect that. There will be some verbal hijinks. I will try to leap to one or two tall conclusions in a single bound. Try to be more powerful than a spreading rumor. I don't know.
Very nice.
One night we're going to do an all Lake Erie show, and that'll be kind of like walking into the boathouse on Put-in-Bay or you know, the casino on Kelly's Island, you know, and it'll be a lot of the material will be about the Great Lakes and Put-in Bay and a lot of fun fishing songs. Then the second night, I'm going to kind of go back in time. There are a lot of times, you know, I'm constantly writing. I have somewhere upwards of 20 recordings of original stuff. and sometimes the old songs get forgotten, so I'm going to go pretty heavily into the Springboard and Grand River album on that and try and tell some of those stories from back in the day, you know, like we've been kind of, you know, ping-ponging here, you know, just talking and telling it the way it was, you know, with all these books that you mentioned that are coming out about, you know, Cleveland back in the day. A friend of mine has been after me to write a book, and I don't want to write a book. I want to just tell the stories the way they belong. For me, I'm more of a storyteller than a book writer. Sure. You know, and I read Mike Belkin's book about, you know, Cleveland, and it was so well done. But I know the way Mike talks because I've known him. And I heard him trying to tell the story too hard instead of telling it from his heart. That's not a criticism. That's sure. Just, you know, but the editor did a great job. You know, it was a wonderful book. And it's same with Gorman's or Dina Adams' book on Cleveland rock and roll. And she's doing another one, you know. And I talked to Anastasia Pantsios. She's doing one on Jane Scott, which I can't wait to see. But, you know, those are writers. Those are real writers. I'm a songwriter. I'm a storyteller. I'm your worst nightmare in an elevator with no lights and no power.
Well, before we cut you loose here, Alex, you brought your guitar with you.
I did.
If they're not going to see you do backflips and cartwheels and the like, if you could, play us some of what we might hear when we come out to Lorain County Community College March 1st and 2nd.
I would love to. And you know what? I'm going to send this out to my friends on the Miller Boat Line. I do ride the Jet Express, and I do ride the Kelly's Island Ferry. But dollar for dollar, pound for pound, the Market family on Put-in Bay makes sure that that place runs safely and people get on and get off. If you knew how much work those people do to make you have a good time, you would not believe it. But this will be a shortened version. You get the big one on March 2nd. You got the wind and the water and the boats and the babes working in the waves all day. You got your buff boys running into sea-doo packs, jumping over ferry wakes. You got the jet boat docking at the pier downtown, launch moving up nice and slow. And it's summertime, the people are primed, hold the line up, ready to go. The lake shoots sparks and we hit the park, everybody getting ready to play. It is a real good day on Put-in Bay, a real good day today, and I say, yeah. Baba doom bidum, baba doom bidum, baba doom bibbity zai. Baba doom bidum, baba doom bidum. You got that monument standing up straight and tall, Perry shining up in the sun. You got the golf carts, old farts, parents and kids loaded up and looking for fun. You got the big butt bikers huffing and a puffing while the pedals go up and down. Some are drinking wine, some are feeling fine. The beer boys pound them on down. There's a guitar man, he's a one-man band. Come on and get ready to play. It's a real good day on Put-in Bay, a real good day today. Real good day on Put-in Bay, a real good day today. Take a deep breath. Give me more of the eerie shore, and then you get your little head up in the air. Give me more cigarette boat roar. Pretty mama, let me take you there. Yes, yes, well, I guess everybody knows it's party time. I've been stopping at a shop and do the South Pass Pop, and everybody here's a friend of mine. So it's Anchors Away and Baby Seafood Play. Come on and get a new cliche. And it's a real good day on Putin Bay. And it's a real good day today. And I say, a real good day on Putin Bay. Oh, look at that baby walking down the boardwalk. I zoop be bow, wabba doop be da, baba doop be beside the eye.
Well done. Oh, very nice. Very, very nice. A real good day on Putin Bay. It'll be a real great night, or could be a couple of great nights if you go down to see Alex Bevin at Lorain County Community College March 1st and March 2nd. Always a pleasure, my friend. This was awesome.
My pleasure. Hope to see you again, Bull. Matt, thanks for inviting me in.
No problem.
Going to go get a beer. Why don't you guys just pull the plug on this and join me?
Well, we're not too far from the end.
Just might have to do that. But make sure you check out Alex. He's going to be at Lorain County Community College again March 1st and March 2nd. Alex, this was awesome, man. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, sir.